Ladies and gentlemen, it is the most wonderful time of the year. It is NFL draft season. We are, of course, a DFS Army fantasy football show. I got my guys here to talk about days one and two. For those counting at home, that's rounds one, two, and three. I got Mike Dickinson, and I got my boy Flex Matt, and of course, I'm your host, Flex Shane. Gentlemen, how the hell are we doing this morning? Matthew.
Mike, welcome back to the pod, my guy. I mean, Michael Dickinson has been just gallivanting, is what I like to say, about the towns and the beach side. My guy loves a good set of mandals. Okay, my guy is and Michael, do you have the bottle opener on the bottom side of those mandals? I remember in high school when they came out with that. It's like you were just walking on the beach. Somebody, you were in high school, you were drinking a beer, needed to pop a top. Let me take off my mandal here. Crack the top, put it back on your shoes. Revolutionary, the idea, Michael.
That is college shit. I'm approaching my mid-40s, so absolutely not.
Yeah.
In the words of Mike Dickinson, don't hate on his happiness, Matt. If he wants mandals, that for those at home, that's man sandals, by the way. He likes to rock like the dress pants with the sandals. It's a good look. I love it, Mike.
Jeans, not dress pants, jeans. I live at the beach. I don't own a pair of shoes. Let's talk about the draft.
Shane had just dressed Mike. I was thinking he was at a wedding with mandals, the way that he said he had dress pants on. And the reality, Mike, you know that you're just a penny pincher, because that's all. What you had, the mandals and the mandals with the bottle opener, and you're like, you know, 30 cents less without the bottle opener, I'm a penny pincher. That's my guy, dressed up on the beach with the mandals. Let's get into the rookie class, Shane.
I will leave it at this, and then we'll get into the rookie class. So as part of my job, I have to represent our company in the community, and I had to go and accept an award at the school board meeting on Thursday night.
Humble egg, my God.
Yeah, my guys, that's a humble flex.
Yeah. I wore the mandals to the school board meeting.
Yeah, shocked everybody in the room. Shocked.
Boys. No, it shocked nobody. It shocked absolutely nobody.
Shocked me with that obnoxiously large big toe you got hanging out there, that you thing. Know, jeez. Okay.
You want to know what's shocking, guys? The fact that we have not talked about the NFL draft yet. Of course, where do we hail? We hail from DFSArmy.com. Go check it out right now. If you guys are into all the draft content, go check out our parent station over at DFS Army on YouTube. Our guy, our chair, our captain, he did a reaction show after day one. Of course, we'd like to get a little bit more data before we come out onto these airwaves. We're going to be talking rounds one, two, and three. And the reason we chose this morning to record, so we're recording about 30 minutes before round four starts. But really the beef, you know, the most fantasy relevant players are pretty much off the board at this point. And dare I say, boys, we were chatting about this before the show. After day one, man, I'm a little bit hesitant with a lot of these players that fell and got drafted in day two in terms of dynasty as well as this year in a redraft. But let's not bear the league, boys. We got to talk about the quarterback position, especially because the only types of leagues we play in, especially for our dynasty leagues, are Superflex or two quarterback leagues, which means guys like Anthony Richardson going to the Indianapolis Colts, where he legitimately could start on day one, has a massive impact to our dynasty drafts. Mike, I'm going to kick it to you here because I feel like you got a fresh perspective. If you're ranking the top three quarterbacks, because really it's a big three, right? You've got CJ Stroud, you've got Bryce Young, you've got Anthony Richardson. Where are you drafting these guys right now as it stands in your dynasty rookie drafts?
So obviously, when you're going in dynasty rookie drafts, Bijan is going to be the 101. He fell into a great spot. He's going to be the starter day one. He's going to get three down work. And even in Superflex League, he's the clear-cut 101. I think that it's a personal preference for you, and it kind of depends on if you want to jump in and you want to kind of win now. So you look at Anthony Richardson, you look at what his ceiling could be. He could be Cam Newton plus. And you look at who the head coach is of the Indianapolis Colts. Shane Steichen came out of that Philadelphia Nick Sirianni offense. He wants a mobile quarterback, somebody built in the Jalen Hurts model. I thought that Richardson fell into the perfect spot there. I think I'm a sizist. And I make no bones about the fact that I'm a sizist. I've never been a Kyler guy because he's on the smaller side. I think that Bryce Young, if he was 6'4", he would hands down be the 101, and I don't think it'd be particularly close, but he's slight, he's small, and he ran for 185 yards last year. So I don't know. I'm sure he's mobile, but I don't think it's part of his game. I think with Stroud, you're looking at somebody who's more like a Joe Burrow, where he has that wiggle, he can get out and he can move in the pocket as he needs to. And if he needs to beat you with his feet, he can. So I think that if I'm going for ceiling and if I'm kind of looking 2 to 3 years out, I think I might take Richardson as the first quarterback off the board. But I think it's a personal preference thing. Do I think that all three of these guys have a shot to do well this year? Yeah, absolutely. I think that Stroud is going to start day one. I think that Young will start day one. I think that Richardson, if he doesn't start day one, will be starting by week four or so. We've seen what Minshew is. Steichen knows what Minshew is. You know, he's a bridge guy. He can win in a 3-game stretch for you. Or if you're Philadelphia last season, he can not win any of those games for you and force Jalen Hurts to come back early. But like, we know what Minshew is. He's not a guy that you build a franchise around. They drafted Richardson fourth overall to be the guy they built the franchise around. So he's kind of the guy I lean into.
So if we're giving advice then, Matt, based on that, if we're giving advice to our listeners here in terms of how they want to start off their rookie drafts, it's going to be Bijan 101. Listen, if you want to take a quarterback there, I'm okay with it. Bijan there makes the most sense. Is it going to go boom, 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 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks, pick your poison off the board, Matt?
Before the draft, there was a lot of talk about how that may not have been how it should shake out, but it is definitely looking like it will shake out. You know, what I was actually thinking all night as I was thinking about Michael Dickinson coming back on the pod, okay? I was thinking, what's up, clipboard? I love clipboard, dude. Big guy, big alpaca guy. I was thinking, you know, what would happen? I was talking to a guy in one of my leagues who he's a pretty smart guy. I like talking to him, but he traded away 103 and said, you know, I was going to pick JSN there at 103 just because he didn't feel that strongly, you know, but that was pre-draft. And so right now you could kind of say that, he got Waddle direct up for 103, assuming that he was just going to go JSN pre-draft. And that was a pretty good trade. Gallivanting. I do know what gallivanting means, clipboard. I just look at Michael Dickinson like a guy who rides on a horse on the beach, maybe a young Clydesdale on the beach drinking a Mai Tai, virgin Mai Tai, of course, my guy Michael Dickinson. Anyway, JSN pre-draft 103, I didn't hate it. I loved it a lot. Now you're kind of looking at 103 like, okay, even in a super flex. Now, we were in a 10-team super flex, and he was saying, well, you know, I don't think quarterback maybe shouldn't have gone there. I would say, yeah, for sure, they should. Quarterback needs to go 1, 2, 3, and even potentially 4. Just depends on what your roster looks like. But I was looking at the futures here on Vegas Insider. What?
Answer the damn question.
What was the question?
Are we taking quarterbacks?
I just said 1, 2, 3, and 4. That was the answer to the question.
On the table. Let's go, baby.
I said
you're taking him 1, 2, 3, and 4. You're not taking Bijan 1.
2, 3, 4.
Oh, well,
2, 3, 4.
Well, it's 2, 3, 4. Yeah, sorry.
2, 3, 4.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I do like Bijan. I don't necessarily have to have him at 1. I could say Anthony Richardson at 1. I don't mind that at all. You know, the thing about Bijan that you look is Algier had a 1,000-yard rushing season. So if you just put Bijan right into that production and say, okay, well, that's the floor, 1,000-yard rushing season as a rookie. That's great. It's everything you want. You just got to hope that he doesn't get injured. Breece Hall, right? Kenneth Walker down the stretch had seen some games where he had to get out, and we're going to talk about running backs. But here's what I want to say about the futures on the quarterbacks. They may not seem exactly like what you want in 2, 3, 4. You know, Anthony Richardson for sure should go 2. He's got the best system that he is running with right now. Jonathan Taylor, Pittman, Pierce, Downs, you know, all those guys, three receivers that look to be in a lot better situation than anything Bryce Young's working with or CJ Stroud. Okay, CJ Stroud has the ghost of Adam Thielen past out there, who's probably wide receiver 1 in that offense. But looking at Vegas Insider and the odds for next year's draft, okay, this is what really kind of hurt CJ's value, is the Texans gave up their next year's number one to Arizona to go up and grab Will Anderson. That kind of sucks, because you know what? I was really thinking Houston Texans might get one overall, two overall, three overall next year, just looking at their team, which you could have said, hey, you know, we're going to go out and grab Marvin Harrison for CJ Stroud next year. Don't think it's going to happen now. Colts are the third, you know, nuts to go 103. Could you see a Marvin Harrison go to that Colts team that really now you're looking at Michael Pittman, Marvin Harrison, Jonathan Taylor, and Anthony Richardson? That is a real life idea here. Also with the fact that the Panthers also traded away next year. So I would say it's a nuts spot for Anthony Richardson 102. And you can even theorize away that he is the 101 this year. And if you aren't a quarterback needy team at 102, Anthony Richardson's got to be worth a lot. I mean, got to be worth a lot.
Let's put this in perspective. So we got Clip asking, is Richardson worth the 101? And here's the thing, right? If you're legitimately a team and the 101 is your actual pick, it probably means you don't have the strongest team, right? Which means you're building. There's a very good chance that if you go and you get Bijan Robinson at the 101, he's going to waste away on your bench. So if you want to use that 101, I would argue that you're the smartest pick, probably, well, definitely more risky, but the smartest pick to me is Anthony Richardson at 101. I don't believe in today's NFL that Anthony Richardson is going to just sit on the bench. I agree with Mike. He's saying by week 4 at the latest. I would argue probably by week 2 or 3. Like, we know what Minshew is. I believe it's going to be week 1, right? You have to take your lumps if you're the Indianapolis Colts. And by drafting Anthony Richardson where they did, they've essentially said, we get it. We're going to take our lumps in year 1. Because of that, and because you've got a team that probably isn't very good, if you get a developmental guy and then you have the massive upside in year 2, like if you look at like a Jalen Hurts, if you look at Patrick Mahomes, these guys who didn't start right away, and we were maybe reluctant to draft them in a rookie draft because they weren't starting right away, we would all say it was worth the wait, right? Once they're in there, it was worth the wait. I say the same thing with Anthony Richardson. If you have a bad team, and you, unless you traded for the 101, I think there's a very, very strong case to take Anthony Richardson 101. Understanding there's a risk factor there, right? The guy doesn't have a lot of snaps. The guy's still not polished in the passing game. But I definitely think there's a case for the 101. Guys, before we close the bow here on the quarterback position, is there anything else you want to get off your chest, Mike?
No, I think Will Levis fell into a great spot. He can sit in Tennessee behind Tannehill if he needs to. He could legitimately come in to compete for that spot. I did, from a talent standpoint, from a physical tool standpoint, I think that he is up there with anybody. A lot of stuff that I saw said that his fall was precipitated by character issues that a bunch of teams found in interviews. So I don't know if Vrabel thinks he can beat that out of him or if they just didn't care about that, but they moved up to get him. So I think that kind of, that's an indictment on Malik Willis. And it says that, you know, they got this year with Tannehill and then they're moving on. So apparently, I think that's a decent spot for him to be in.
Matt or Mike, apparently a lot of these crusty old GMs didn't like him posting shirtless videos of him throwing on his knees. Like, who cares, man? Who cares about that stuff? Well, there's also
the May when it's coffee, that kind of stuff. Like, who cares? Like,
clearly it happened once.
2023.
It happened once. Yeah. Exactly. We're open to that stuff. But the other thing, too, is that apparently Will Levis might need surgery on one of his toes. He's saying that it's fully healed and that he won't need surgery. But there were some reports following after day 1 as to why he fell, was because some teams think he might need surgery on that foot. So there's just a little bit of a health factor there as well. Let's move on to the
running back
position.
Move on real quick.
Okay. Okay, go, Matt. Give me your last take.
Hey, we got time. I mean, it's not like we're having to super rush this thing here, but we cannot move on from the QB class without talking about Hendon Hooker.
All right.
Throw the couple comments we got up here. I see Richardson 101 or Hooker at 2.01. See, that's like a smart question to really start to dissect, because Clip, I know, has the 101, and a lot of people do have the 101. And in the real NFL, a lot of teams were looking at let's maybe pass. Like, let's say the Texans didn't go CJ Stroud and then settled for Levis or Hooker in the second round, if that was an option for them, or you know, Indy or any one of those teams. So the fact is that Hooker went to the Lions, and he is not going to be a second round pick. The way that the receivers fell in this draft, not to mention the tight ends, I really see Hooker going in the first round as a dead lock, probably 10 or 11, maybe even earlier if somebody really likes it. Remember, the Lions were the number one offense for many weeks last year, okay, scoring like 27 points a game, added Jahmyr Gibbs, which they were fired up about adding Jahmyr Gibbs, which we'll get to Jahmyr in the RB section. And then Boise Zag says, how high are we taking Levis in rookie drafts? So again, we can't leave the, you know, Hooker is going to go somewhere in the 110, 111. If you think that you're going to wait till 201 and he's going to fall there, it's not going to happen in super flex, but Levis may fall. Go ahead.
Think about this, Matt. So where did the quarterbacks go last year in the draft, right? Like the Desmond Ritters, they were going early to mid round two. Similar draft capital, Hendon Hooker picked 3.5. I think there's a really good chance that Hendon Hooker, who is not healthy, he very likely is not going to play a single snap this year in the NFL. He's just going to sit there marinating on your bench. I don't think he's going to be a first round pick. I think Hendon Hooker's definitively going to be a second round pick, but like the 201 to the 203. Type range. And then I think Will Levis, especially because how we saw some of these higher end, like the Zach Charbonnet, who we'll talk about in a second here, where they fell. We say you try to be a little bit landing spot agnostic when it comes to dynasty, because a lot can change, but it's still tough. It's still tough to get past some of those biases. Will Levis, I think, is going to be right around the 1.8 to the 112, depending on how needy your team is. Where I'm drafting him, just top of my head, probably around the 1.7, 1.8. I'm still comfortable doing that, knowing that Will Levis, I think, is going to have a legitimate opportunity to start next year for the Tennessee Titans.
And I love the argument, because I disagree heavily with that statement and would swap Levis and Hooker in your opportunities. Yeah. Because, hey, the fact of the matter is, Hooker and Levis, well, primarily Hooker for sure, is way better than Desmond Ridder. I mean, if they came in the same class, so Desmond Ridder didn't fall because of his draft capital. He fell because he fell into a situation at Marcus Mariota at the start of the year. Desmond Ridder had basically got the job because they just had to give it to him. You don't even, I mean, right now, if they draft DTR Atlanta right here in the fourth, fifth, or sixth rounds, like Desmond Ridder could not be the quarterback by the end of this year. I mean, that's possible. So Hooker is going to come into the Detroit offense next year as QB1, possibly, even if it ain't next year, okay? They go into the number one offense in the league for many weeks last year, okay? Jameson Williams is going to get there. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get there. That offense is still on the rise, okay? And they're still yet to add another big wide receiver, potentially even next year, which, again, Hooker falls into a great situation. So you can argue away that Levis would be the one going in the second round if anybody falls.
I want to throw it to Mike, because Mike was the biggest Desmond Ridder fan that I know of. But I just want to say one thing, Mike, before you get to this. Context matters, right? Desmond Ridder fell to round three last year because of his talent. That's what I believe. This is Shane's opinion. Hendon Hooker didn't fall to round three because of his talent. He fell to round three because he's 25 years old, so he's an older quarterback, and he currently has an injury, right? He has the ACL tear that happened late last season, right? So those two factors compounded round three draft capital. If he was healthy, probably late round one, middle round one, because people are getting smarter, right? He's still older.
Or early round two.
Or early round two. Either way. Probably right around where Will Levis went is where Hendon Hooker was going to go if he was healthy. So I think that's smart. Okay, Mike, Nerf gun to your head. Are you taking Desmond Ridder? Are you taking Will Levis or Hendon Hooker right now? In a redraft or a dynasty draft startup, who would you take higher?
Dynasty today? Startup?
Yeah.
Levis.
So you're taking Levis over those three guys?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you look at the age on Hooker, and the age isn't really that big deal. I mean, he's going to be 26 before he takes an NFL snap. I think depending on how Goff plays this year, you could look at Hooker in a situation that Jordan Love ended up in. Now, obviously, Goff is not what Aaron Rodgers was, but I mean, if that offense is going and that offense is humming, they can restructure Goff's deal. Why wouldn't they keep it in place? You got Hooker on a cheap backup contract. He's a third round contract. Like, why wouldn't you just keep him in there, restructure Goff, get him on a team friendly deal, and build around him? The offense is obviously high powered. You know, we'll talk about the running backs a little bit later. I think that Levis was drafted to be the starter. I think, you know, I said earlier, they're done with Malik Willis. That experiment failed, and Tannehill's out of there after this year. I think, you know, I think that you could see Levis take over midseason. I don't think there's any chance that Hooker plays a snap this year. And, you know, Ritter's spot is kind of tenuous. If Atlanta is crap again this year, Atlanta has a top five pick next year. There's a very real possibility that they could go quarterback. So I think Levis is in the most stable position out of the three to deliver over the next 2 to 3 years.
Let's talk about Jordan Love, Shane. I listened to RotoViz pre-draft, and RotoViz was saying that Jordan Love would be worth 1.08 direct, you know, one for one. Looking at where these QBs did fall, Levis out of the first round, Tennessee, Hooker out of the first round, third round to Detroit. Would you go and grab Jordan Love? I mean, we're about to move on from the quarterbacks into the skill positions where, you know, Green Bay offs Aaron Rodgers and drafts three or four offensive skill position guys out of nowhere. Couldn't do it for the life of him while he was there, but they seem to set Jordan Love up with some pretty good weapons moving forward. I mean, and do you like Jordan Love, and what would you go up for him?
I was not a Jordan Love guy, but you can't argue with the opportunity that the Green Bay Packers are presenting to him this season. Like, it's obvious what they're doing, right? So when you talk about the skill position players, they went and they got Jaden Reed, who we loved, Senior Bowl darling. We've seen success. I mean, look at this. Last year, they drafted Christian Watson, who, where did he propel his draft stock? The Senior Bowl. This year, Jaden Reed, seemingly out of nowhere, goes to the Senior Bowl, projects his draft stock. The Senior Bowl matters, okay? And then another guy, Luke Musgrave, an absolute stud, and then Tyler Kraft. So at the tight end position, that was an area that I identified, I think we all did, as certainly an area of need for them. They went and got all these three skill position players to help support Jordan Love. They still have Aaron Jones, who restructured his contract to stay with them. And then A.J. Dillon, man, he had a bit of a disappointing year last year, but as a whole, the team makes sense. But let me just put something into people's context, because again, everybody, context matters, okay? When it comes to the Green Bay Packers, the reason they didn't draft all these different wide receivers and skill position players for Aaron Rodgers is because the reason you play an elite quarterback money, is because they can improve the entire offense. The tide that raises all boats, right? When it comes to a player like Jordan Love, who is not as polished. Now, even last offseason, he had his kinks. He didn't look great, according to a lot of the beat reporters. He's going to get his opportunity. The Packers want him to succeed. So how do you help these young quarterbacks succeed? It's the same storyline you look at for everybody else around the league, the Justin Fields of the world, right? You go, you support him with a strong supporting cast at the wide receiver position, at the tight end position. Luke Musgrave, he's a stud at catching the ball, okay? So this is why. It's not because, oh, they hate Aaron Rodgers. They spite him by not drafting him. No, it's because Aaron Rodgers can elevate the offense so they can spend their draft picks on defense, which, by the way, they spent their first-round draft pick on defense again. So, of course, they're going to go out and try to get their young quarterback more passing options, because it would just be irresponsible not to do that.
And you look at all these quarterbacks drafted. Jordan Love admittedly has the best defense of all of these quarterbacks we're talking about here. Green Bay Packers defense is pretty stellar defense. They upgraded some pieces there. But like you said, a lot of weapons drafted. They look at a Musgrave, like Musgrave's probably going to play the big slot for them. Kraft might line up more on the line as like the prototypical move tight end. But I see Musgrave as like their wide receiver three. So Jaden Reed and Watson, I mean, they might surprise a lot of people. Maybe not even this year, but next year, the year after that, with a good defense and in that division that, you know, the Lions seem to be the ones ready to take that spot. But it's, again, you know, they have some pieces. Goff, you know, Goff could, what's Goff worth on the trade market right now, Mike? I mean, if they did want to get rid of Goff instead of restructuring him and keep him around. Goff played well last year. Geno Smith played well last year. Once they give the team over, do you think a guy like Goff stays back and plays a backup role, or do you think they try to get rid of him? Do you, you know, either way, there's a lot of pieces that you could move around to again continue to make these teams better. Jordan Love, again, I'm going to ask you, Shane, Jordan Love, what is he worth? If I'm trading you, if I got Jordan Love and you want him, what do you think is going to take to get the deal done for Jordan Love straight up? Are we talking 1-8, 1-9, 1-10, no. Direct?
So if I'm the Jordan Love manager and he's on my team, I want probably the 1-6, 1-7.
1-6. And Mike, would you trade, take that? Right? If you had Jordan Love, would you off him for 1-6 or 7, or would you keep him?
I think it depends on my situation, because if you have Jordan Love, you've probably had him for a while and he's not done much for you, and you probably have pieces around him. I was just pulling up one of my rosters where I've had Jordan Love forever, and the other quarterbacks I have around him, I got Josh Allen, I got Joe Burrow, I got Derek Carr, I got Jordan Love. So in that situation, I drafted Jordan Love 310 in the rookie draft where he came out. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't have much into him, and I've been sitting on him for a while. So if I need a piece, you know, I might get aggressive and try and take – if Bijan fell, I would try and say, hey, I'll give me 1-2, 1-3 for him in the hopes that I could grab him. But I think I'd be okay – I'd be okay with 1-5, 1-6 for him.
Well, that's the thing. You missed out on all the QBs this year. Let's say you do have 106, right? So you're staring down potentially Jahmyr Gibbs or JSN, you know, at 105, 106. JSN not in the greatest position for fantasy outlook in the future. Jahmyr looks pretty good. So you probably select Jahmyr over taking Jordan Love, even if you needed a QB. But 107 for Jordan Love, I mean –
yeah,
that's got to be
kind of the sweet spot.
That's got to be an auto accept right there. But okay, Shane, keep us rolling on running backs. This is going to get a little scary here at the running back position.
So just a heads up on Jared Goff's contract. He's $15 million in dead money this year. He's only $5 million in dead money next year, and his contract is up in 2025. So they could walk away from him. I don't think you're going to get one. Trading for, I mean, you're going to get a 4 if you trade for him, if you move him in the 24 season. So they're probably going to either extend him on a team-friendly deal or let him walk, depending on what Hooker does.
Yeah, I just think that Goff isn't that guy. Goff is cocky. He wants to be a starter in the league, and he led the highest offense in the league last year. He's probably even a 4. Like, there's guys on the board right now at 4 that I would trade Goff for if next year comes around and Hooker is ready to go. Then you just trade the guy. I mean, even if it's 4 or 4, I mean, look at what they're having to do with DeAndre Swift right now. Look at Trey Lance. Woof. Trey Woof. Lance hasn't been dealt at all. Trey Lance Woof. Has zero fantasy value. But you should go and buy Trey Lance. If a team's ready to go, I would buy Trey Lance right now for a second, like a 205, 204. If somebody gives me Trey Lance for 204 in this draft right now, I'm taking Trey Lance, because he's probably going to go somewhere else, you know, and get another shot. I'll probably take that.
Makes sense. Okay, guys, we got to move on. We got to move on to the running back position. God damn it, Matt.
Okay, it's come hard. On the, show, the quarterbacks, just, I mean, geez, they were at the top of the draft. It's probably the most important decisions that our viewers are having to face this year, especially Clip, because he sucks every year.
Stop. So just catching strays, Clip. Just catching strays. Okay, let's talk about the running back position, because after Bijan Robinson, there's a lot of head scratching. I was shocked. I think a lot of people were shocked that the Detroit Lions took Jahmyr Gibbs at the 112. When they really had, like, they could have taken Bijan Robinson earlier before they traded out of their pick. They clearly like Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm a little bit worried, right? They went and they paid David Montgomery. As of today, again, recording this the morning of April 29th, right before round 4 starts, DeAndre Swift's still on the team. It sounds like Swift's agent is really pushing for the Lions to trade him away, which is great, okay? Then I'll feel a little bit more comfortable about Jahmyr Gibbs. But I still think with the way that your draft is kind of played itself out, I'm probably taking Jahmyr Gibbs right around the 1.6.
He's not going to go 1-6, I think. He's probably going to go ahead of Levis. He's probably going to go 1-5, 1-4.
Well, so one, so I think it's going to be Bijan, the three quarterbacks, and then at 5 and 6, it's going to be a decision between JSN and Jahmyr Gibbs.
It's going to be Gibbs at 5, 100%.
I'm taking JSN at 5, man.
See, I'm taking JSN too. I think in that situation, you lean receiver. You lean receiver over running back, especially a running back who's in a timeshare.
Well, I mean, a timeshare until after the fourth round goes off here today. I mean, it's possible that Swift gets dealt.
The data is compelling. I know we don't try to be sizist, but it's compelling when sub 200-pound running backs produce in fantasy football. The thing that becomes this quagmire that we're trying to deal with here is we've got a sub 200-pound running back that was just drafted at the 112 in 2023.
That's what you have to look at. There.
It's shocking. It's how do you put these things together? I'm still taking JSN. I get it because JSN's also kind of buried, right? Tyler Lockett this year is going to be the lead dog in that offense. We know there's a guy named DK Metcalf there as well.
Yeah, not to mention Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker in a run-first offense in a low pass. I mean, let's be real here. I love JSN. He's my guy. I'm a Seahawks fan, right? So obviously JSN's my guy. I'm just not going to select him before 106 in fantasy drafts. I mean, even if he goes up and becomes everything Tyler Lockett wants, you talk about restructuring to keep a veteran around, that's Tyler Lockett. He's already a real estate agent in Seattle. He's prepping for the end of – and he's been for 2 years. I mean, he's prepping for his exit of the NFL. He's already set up to do it. The guy's going to get paid to stick around as long as he wants to play in the NFL. And that's the thing is JSN isn't – I mean – the Seahawks don't play football like that just because they drafted JSN in the first round. Remember, I mean, DK wasn't a first round receiver. So if you're just looking at draft capital alone, then you should say, well, JSN's number one. That ain't happening. And if as long as Tyler Lockett's on the field, he's the number two. It doesn't matter. It's just the way the scheme is and they play. Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker in a run first offense. That means that they're going to be passing only on third down, essentially, which is all they want to do. Okay, JSN's probably high-end outputs, 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns on the high end. On the floor, though, he's got 800 yards, 5 touchdowns a year for the rest of his career, which is great. I just look at it, it's like, well, Jahmyr, exactly everything that you said about Jahmyr, we don't see the profile, we don't see the production, we don't until a team like the Chiefs actually go and make Larry Johnson or you know some of these little guys and give them the load. Well, it's clear as day that the Detroit Lions want to give the guy the load. I mean, they said they could take him at 6 if they were comfortable enough on that. You know what that means? He's going to get the ball, and he's going to be a very important part of their offense. And he's going to be used in ways that they can't use DeAndre Swift. Look at DeAndre Swift, his profile, everything. They couldn't get what they wanted out of him. So you have to look at Jahmyr Gibbs and say, you know what? He's probably going to get the opportunity. So Lions taking Gibbs 12 told me everything I need to know. Exactly. Exactly. They were going to go get him at 6. That's everything you need to know. They plan to make Gibbs a very focused point of their offense, the top offense in the league. Hooker's coming in. Hooker's known for airing the ball out, throwing it all over the field. Again, this Lions offense is setting up to be a fantasy football, you know, Amon-Ra.
Okay, I mean, can I just say this though? It is absolute cockamamie nonsense to say that the Detroit Lions had a similar grade on Jahmyr Gibbs as they did on Bijan Robinson. It's just, to me, that's just absolute BS.
Yeah, that's interesting because that's what everybody's talking about right now. So, oh, you would have taken Jahmyr at 6. So why didn't you just take Bijan? Well, it's very possible that Bijan just wasn't the guy that fit into their system like, you know, Gibbs did. They already have Montgomery. Montgomery's a good running back. I mean, you love Montgomery.
Well, okay. I think 5 or 6, we're comfortable taking, pick your poison if you prefer. Hey, maybe JSN isn't your number one wide receiver after the draft, but 5 or 6, I think consensus, those it's going to be one of those two players that's going to be going there in your quarterback drafts. Then we go into day 2. The only player drafted in round 2 was your guy, Zach Yeah, day two. So round two.
Running backs.
Right?
We're talking about running backs. Sorry.
Yeah, we're talking about running backs still. The only player drafted in round two was Zach Charbonnet. Of course, as you noted, Matt, he went to the Seattle Seahawks. So it's going to be this nasty, disgusting, despicable timeshare between Ken Walker, who we love. Ken Walker, who right now he's getting through early best ball drafts, mid to late round two draft capital. I mean, is he still a round two pick in redrafts this league, Mike? Are you taking him?
Mike, that's not even the question. Are you taking Charbonnet in the first round of any fantasy football draft this year, Mike? I mean, let's be real. That's the question.
Am I taking Charbonnet in the first round?
Yeah, because he was probably RB2, right, Shane? We talked about it. I mean, Charbonnet was RB2.
He was my RB2 before the draft.
Now is he out of the first round, Mike?
I think he is.
He's got to be. I mean, he has to be.
But you say that, but when you're really parsing it out and you put pen to paper, who are you going to be taking above him? So obviously, you know, at the wide receiver position, which we'll get into more depth here, you're going to have the four first-round quarterback or wide receivers you're going to be taking there, right?
It's so funny because you just argued against this fact for Gibbs. Now you're bringing the fact back in and for Charbonnet on the opposite side.
No, he argued against Gibbs at 107. No, 106.
All I'm saying is you can't take Charbonnet there. It doesn't matter. You have to take the receivers there. Addison, Quentin Johnston, you got to take these guys before Charbonnet. Guaranteed now.
I agree. So what we're saying here is if you take, again, you're looking at the 5 and 6, which is probably going to be JSN or Jahmyr Gibbs. Then you're looking at the 7, 8, 9 is going to be QJ, Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, Addison. Jordan Addison, right?
Addison, yep.
And then but then you're staring down the barrel of like Kincaid. Jonathan Mingo. It's too early for a tight end, man. These guys just don't make a difference on our fantasy teams.
We play in tight end premium leagues where they actually do. And again, it's replacement value. That's why Gibbs has to go where he's going, is because you only have like 12 or 13 running backs that you feel comfortable starting week to week with high-end value. You know, and that's the whole idea, is that it's the same, if not worse, at tight end. So going to Buffalo and knowing that we're Gabe Davis fans, like we are, right? We're Gabe Davis fans. We always have been. But the reality on the real NFL football field is that Gabe Davis is probably a replaceable asset. And if Kincaid can go anywhere, and now you know you have to cover, Kincaid probably falls into a lot of opportunity for a long time in a great system, in a winning offense, in a premium league. He's probably 10 or 11. And then you, again, Hooker or Levis, where are they going? So you are saying
but here's the thing. Okay. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 tight ends drafted in the first 2 days. Pick your poison, man. Would you rather have Dalton Kincaid at the 110 or Michael Mayer, who went to the Las Vegas Raiders, which, guess what? They just traded away Darren Waller at, say, like the 2.3, 2.4. Or a Luke Musgrave, who went to the Green Bay Packers. Wide open depth chart.
Well, that's why I was trying to say.
Or Darnell Washington, went to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, not Darnell. He fell, but Mayer could be 12. Kincaid could be 11. I mean, I'm looking at that in a tight end premium league. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo loves the tight end, okay? So I love Mayer. I say maybe 12 on Mayer in a premium league. Again, just because the replacement value is Hunter Henry. I mean, if you're going up against somebody with a Hunter Henry on the roster, right? A Hayden Hurst for Bryce Young, you would like Mayer probably long term in that.
I want to hear a man who's got reason. Logic behind his. Just kidding. Are you taking a tight end around one of your super flex drafts right now?
I think a lot of it depends on where you are and what your roster looks like.
If we're doing your rankings, right? Which we rank in a vacuum, right? Where are you taking it?
You can't rank close.
In a vacuum now because we know the landing spot. So it's not in a vacuum.
Probably be close. I think that you have to look at the opportunity that these guys are going to get. Like, I think that there's a very clear statement coming out of Buffalo that the small slot is not the way that we want to go. We want Diggs and Davis on the outside, and we're going to run Dalton Kincaid as our big slot. The question, though, is, Shakir's not safe. I don't think Shakir is safe. Shakir was harpooned at pick 25 when they took Dalton Kincaid, if we're being honest. But then I think you look at the guys that went at the top of round two. Like, I mean, Dan Campbell took a tight end in Laporta at the top of round two, who's 6'4", 235. That guy ain't blocking. He's catching passes. So, like, I think that it's a personal preference thing. For me, it'll be close. You know, I look at the Charbonnet thing, and I think that you could end up in an ugly situation like Denver's been in for the last 2 or 3 years, where, like, if you had Javonte and Melvin Gordon before Gordon went out, you could have both those guys on the roster. And personally, I did this. I'm not proud of it. There's a lot of things I've not been proud of, but I did that, and I wrote it to a final last year. It worked for me until it didn't work. So, like, I think to the Ken Walker owner, Charbonnet is absolutely back end of round one. You could put both those guys in. I think he's more of a flyer. I really think it's personal preference. And I think a lot of this stuff, you got to see how else it shakes out as day three rolls on. And then as camps roll out.
Well, so then the other question too, and this is, I'm going to provide a little bit of meat to your argument as well, Matt, here. It's, we talked about this before the draft, that this is an opportunity where we're going to be taking a lot of shots on these running backs, right? Because we love the profiles. It's just a matter of, can these guys get to draft capital? And we had four guys go off in round three, which round three is kind of the new round two, right? Like, teams are just smarter in terms of where they're picking these guys. But again, and I'm so careful to say landing spot sucks, but Kendre Miller, who we love, who I think I need a little bit of time to digest this, but I think I'm going to elevate him to my RB3 in this class. He went to the New Orleans Saints. Now, if Alvin Kamara has a suspension, or even if he doesn't, right, he's getting up there in age. He's lost a bit of a step. You know, we're a far way away where he scored, what was it, that 5-touchdown game in the fantasy championships and won a bunch of people leagues. Seems like a distant memory at this point. But Kendre Miller going to the New Orleans Saints, I like that fit, except for the fact that they went out and they got Jamal Williams. Now, I would have said, haha, don't be silly. Jamal Williams should not be a threat. That's what I said last year when he went and got how many bloody touchdowns? Like 17 or 19?
17.
Yeah, 17 touchdowns, all within like a yard of the goal line, which means that if Alvin Kamara misses time, there's a good chance that between the 20s, it's probably going to be Kendre Miller time. And then on the goal line, high probability of touchdowns, that's going to be Jamal Williams' time. So I worry a little bit about Kendre Miller, but man, if you watch any of his TCU highlights, he's an absolute stud. I like Kendre Miller a lot. I think he was a pretty popular name just throughout the draft class, but I think he's my number three, followed
Shane,
by Zach Charbonnet.
What I would really like to do, if you can do this, because I think we'll have more than enough time to do this, but if you can maybe tee up a Superflex mock draft on Sleeper, and we can just go one pick by pick. You know, let's say I'll take one, or because I don't want Bijan, we'll give one let's to Mike, and we'll just go that. I think we should do that right now, just to kind of see where it falls.
Not right now. Let's not write off the rails. We got stuff to talk about. We'll do that another show.
Kendre Miller should probably be the second. Well, no, not the second, because I like Gibbs. He should be the third running back drafted, because you can easily see how he gets six games starting RB this year, 4 or 5 touchdowns in those games, looks great. Kamara comes back, great 1-2 punch. Kamara's gone off the team next year, okay? Kendre Miller, next year, you could be talking about him as your first round redraft selection, maybe even second round. Kenneth Walker, Charbonnet, vulture each other, both get 600, 700 yards. It's possible. Kendre Miller's probably the guy, but that's why I'm trying to say is this first round, if you're not liking the tight ends in the first round, Kendre Miller's the guy that you're going to put into that 110, 111. Yeah. And be really happy about it, especially if you don't need or do need a running back to compete this year on your team, because Kendre Miller is kind of steamrolling himself into the Alvin Kamara, you know, suspension week. So he's going to give you production this year, and then he's going to be great for the future. But let's talk about running backs we're going to take a shot on, and they're all going to come in the second round, and they're all going to come from these next two rounds that – and they haven't even been drafted yet. The best running backs of this class this year have probably not been drafted yet. And that's the truth. of it. Well, I mean, I'm just talking about Sean Tucker, Chase Brown, Abanikanda, Roschon Johnson. They haven't even been drafted yet. We talk about draft capital, but realistically, and we've done research on this, draft capital only matters to receivers. So let's really talk about the receivers. We're going to transition now into the receiver talk.
Well, hold on, Matt. We're not done with the running backs. Hold off. Just 1 second. We got to talk about some of these other guys before we move on, okay? Because these guys matter, okay? We'll go quick, though, because we are at 45 minutes. We do want to talk about the wide receivers.
Is probably probably 110.
Yeah. So next conversation, I agree, is going to be between Tajay Spears, who was drafted at 318 by the Tennessee Titans. There's already been rumors about Derrick Henry being on the trade block. And then Devon Achane, who's small, but he went to the Miami Dolphins. And that was pretty much the Nets landing spot because it's the all geriatric running back team right now in the Miami Dolphins. So Devon Achane, he's going to get opportunity when he gets in there. And Tank Bigsby, I kind of feel like he's a little bit buried. Because we saw even Jermichael Hasty came in last year when Travis Etienne missed a little bit of time and he was productive. So it's going to be a timeshare between those the two and three backs. But do you like Achane, Matt, over Tajay Spears then, if you're taking
I'll
a shot
I'll go
here?
Mike. We'll go Mike with that.
I think I got to take Spears.
Yeah.
Because I think if you look at it, I think the handwriting's on the wall. Derrick Henry's in his year 29 year. He is superhuman. He's a freak. He's a workout warrior, but he's going to fall off a cliff at some point, you know? And I just think that Spears is nowhere near as big as Derrick Henry is, but I think that there's a very clear path to work for him. Whereas with Achane, I don't know. Who knows what McDaniels is going to do? Like he could, who did they take? He could Philly just picked. I'm hoping they picked
Kelee Ringo.
Yeah, I was hoping they took the running back out of Pittsburgh. That would have been juicy. But I think
that's why I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. Something like if they had picked one of my top, if Sean Tucker just went there, I would have cried. I would have been like, yes, because that Sean Tucker's my guy. I'm waiting for Sean Tucker to come in right here. But Achane, right? Yeah. Achane and Spears is a conversation on who you would take. Mike, what do you have to say about the fact that Achane has been rumored to have absolutely no ACL? Okay. The reality is the Titans probably aren't going to be good this year. So if you look at running back coming out of the class next year, which is a decently strong running back class next year, I just look at Tajay Spears as your fakest second round pick. If you waste a first round pick on him, I don't like it because he is a replaceable asset being drafted late third round. I mean, mid third round at 18th spot, 318, a guy that is realistically not a bell cow. I think he is your third down back. He's going to be relegated to that in a spot where quarterback is unknown for the future. The whole team's kind of a mess. I just look at if they really wanted to surprise some people at 2.05 next year, they might draft the first running back off the board if we don't see any Bijan Mustard opportunities in the first round like we did this year. So I just look at it as Tajay Spears is a guy that I'm going to say don't draft at all this year because he could be your most replaceable asset coming in the second round next year for Tennessee.
That's possible. So the other thing, too, is I think that
– go ahead, Mike. Go ahead,
Mike.
There could be five other running backs on Miami's roster as well next year.
Well, that's why I say I'm not really there on either of them. Achane's probably the guy I'm going to pick because I think I could theorize that in a speed-first offense, opportunity and just whoever's going to be available is probably going to be the guy that gets the ball. Tyreek, Waddle, Achane, bunch of guys that just throw speed all over the field. So, yeah, I understand. And Mostert and the RB1. But if you're talking about pure fantasy, we love the pass-catching opportunities. And Achane probably presents that a lot more than Tajay Spears does.
When I'm building my dynasty rankings for these rookie drafts, the only running back that has this round three draft capital that I'm going to consider drafting at the background of round one is, I think, Kendre Miller. Everybody else has question marks. Look, even Kendre Miller has question marks. I'm probably going to be leaning at the dart throws in round two. The one thing about Devon Achane is that he was one of those Debbie darlings. People love him, and he's got the speed, and he fell in a good spot. So I can see in some drafts a player like Devon Achane going at the 110 to the 112. where I'm probably going to be drafting him is around the 2-3, 2-4, because I'm going to be taking a shot on a bunch of these round two wide receivers. Even though I don't love a lot of these guys, I'm probably going to be taking a shot on these round two wide receivers because of the opportunity, which let's move on to the wide receiver position.
Hey, Boise Zag's comment is great. The 5'9", 4x100 relay team. Dolphins.
That's true. It's true, man. It's true. But again, like the same reason they got burned. And listen, I think Devon Achane's a better prospect than James Cook was last year. But I mean, he's still only 188 pounds. He's sub 190 pounds. And we just historically, we don't see a lot of success in the NFL, even if he's going to a McDaniels style a McDaniels style offense. I don't love it. Let's move on to the wide receiver position because we actually do have a lot of sizzle here in round one. And I feel like we've kind of buried the lead here because Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Do we all, is this our consensus wide receiver one?
Well, I want to hear from Mike. I know I've taken over the mic a lot, but I'm very secure in my takes on the players that I liked pre-draft and where they fell. So Mike, we haven't heard a lot from you. Do you like Zay Flowers, Mike? I mean, would you put Zay Flowers behind Mingo and Jaden Reed at all?
I don't think I put him behind Mingo and, well.
What? No.
Mingo is potentially wide receiver one for Bryce Young for the next 4 years.
I like Zay Flowers. I don't like Lamar Jackson. And I know that is not a popular take. I do not believe in Lamar Jackson as a passer. I know that they're surrounding him with all these passing weapons. He's got Todd Monken in there, who's been the OC out of Georgia for the last 2 years. We've seen what Monken has done, you know, in some similar offenses. I just don't know that Lamar Jackson is polished enough as a passer to give Flowers the volume that he needs. So you look at Mingo, who could be a one. You look at the kid that went to Green Bay. Like, these guys have opportunity. And I think that Lamar is still going to run. I think that Baltimore is still going to be a run heavy team. So I think that it's the landing spot that kind of tilts it for me a little bit.
Zay Flowers is a significantly better prospect than Jonathan Mingo. I think it's bad process to say that, oh, we like the opportunity with this rookie quarterback longer term. When Jonathan Mingo, when you look at his production, when you look at all the advanced stats, just wasn't anything compared to what Zay Flowers was. Yes, we don't love this landing spot, but we talked about like Todd Monken. Like, he was the DGAF coach when Jameis Winston had his crazy fantasy year, right? So it's going to be a very different offense. And I think let's not get too crazy about fading Zay Flowers here, people. I think that would be a mistake.
Well, I look at Zay Flowers a little bit. I mean, and I know it's not exact. I'm not saying that I'm dying on this hill, but yeah. You look at Ja'Marr Chase and you look at Justin Jefferson. Okay, Ja'Marr Chase, you got to say that a significantly better QB role in Burrow, right? But you get Justin Jefferson going to a more stable, consistent, not competing, you know, with a bunch of targets for, I mean, if you're in the right spot at the right time, yes, Justin Jefferson is you could say he's a better athlete than, I mean, you can't even say that. So, I mean, you look at Kirk Cousins, who's able to give Justin Jefferson everything that he wants and needs. You look at Bryce Young, like, yeah, he's not Burrow. He's more like Kirk Cousins with his decision making. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. But Mingo, if he's in the right place at the right time, you can see a lot of opportunity where, you know, there isn't as much opportunity coming out of that Baltimore offense. Again, run first. Two wide receivers already in place there, right? So it's just so tough, and he's small, and we don't like the small guys. I mean, you know, we do like them in certain positions, but it's not to say that he's going to be a one. Flowers, does he come in and profile as a one? He probably profiles more like Hollywood Brown, where he's a two at best in the offense. So what are they doing with him? Well, he's the fast guy, right? He can go downfield. So if you're just running him downfield, then are you going to actually get any production from him and Lamar Jackson? So just like Mike said, we don't like Lamar Jackson. So, I mean, how far is Zay Flowers going to fall, Shane? I mean, tell me, how far is he going to fall? And where would you take him?
If I'm going to draft, I'm probably drafting Jordan Addison had a Zay Flowers, and then I'm going Zay Flowers, and then I'm going Quentin Johnston.
Ooh, I had a Quentin Johnston, huh? Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, look. Well, okay. So Jordan Addison, I think, is in a fantastic
spot. We already know Addison's there. I'm talking about Quentin Johnston versus Zay Flowers. I mean,
well, I was a little bit reluctant. Listen, I wasn't the biggest Quentin Johnston guy. And maybe, listen, maybe this is just my own bias by getting burned by the TCU wide receivers, right? I'm a little bit reluctant. He doesn't have strong hands, right? When you look at a big player like that, he doesn't play big. One of the reasons that people love Quentin Johnston was because he was going to be this super freak athlete, athletic freak, excuse me. He was good. He's an athlete, but he wasn't that freak that we thought he was going to be, right? He's not great in those 50-50 balls, not as good as he should be at his size. And then he goes to a team like the LA Chargers where, listen, in a year or two, it's going to be fantastic. But Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, God willing, they stay healthy. Those are still going to be the number one and two guys. So if you're drafting QJ, you're obviously playing for the future, right? But in terms of an immediate fantasy impact, I'm a little bit worried about that. And then just based, you add on to the fact that when I look at my peer prospects, I like the Jordan Addison landing spot better. And I believe it's a superior prospect. So that's why I'm drafting Jordan Addison ahead. Now, to me, it's really the conversation between QJ and Zay Flowers. Me personally, when I look at my type of wide receiver and the type of wide receiver that wins in the NFL right now, you say he's small, but he's still 182 pounds, right? He's got a 26 BMI. So he's not tiny, right? It used to be that Mendoza line was 180 pounds. He's ahead of that. Super athlete. I'm still taking Zay Flowers over QJ, but I can see the argument in both cases. I would rather, let me just put it this way. I would rather wait until early round two and take a guy like Arashi Rice versus drafting Quentin Johnston at the 1.7, 1.8, which is where he's probably going to be going.
Well, let's talk about Arashi Rice, Mike. I mean, here's the thing about Arashi Rice is early round two is probably not where he's going to go. I mean, when you talk about the Laportas, when the Jaden Reeds, Domingos, and then the running backs who might go there, we just talked about A-Chain, Spears. I mean, the reality is Arashi Rice is probably your 2.8, 2.9, 2.10. And I really kind of like it there. I mean, when you look at right there and you look at the people behind him, it's tight end, it's going to be some more running backs. You know, again, Hooker and Levis have to slot in somewhere there. So you might end up with Arashi Rice at 2.11. And I like 2.11. I mean, Arashi Rice doesn't win all over the field. He's probably more Juju than he is in, you know, Juju's not a great receiver. But it makes sense for the team. They got a lot of weapons there, but Patrick Mahomes hasn't been looking incredible with some of these weapons anymore, except for Travis Kelce, like he always has. So what do you think about Arashi Rice, Mike?
I think that I was listening to Sirius in the car this morning, and the Kansas City beat reporter was on, and he said that Patrick Mahomes intentionally reached out to the front office and told them to make the move to get Arashi Rice. So I think that kind of moves the needle a little bit for me. I wasn't high on him, but you know, when you have Patrick Mahomes telling the front office to go out and get a guy, that kind of moves a little bit. So back into the second, yeah, giddy up.
Shane, you agree as well, I would assume.
Well, I don't think he's going to fall to the back end of the second. We saw what the Kansas City bump did to Sky Moore. And I think, you know, even I like Sky Moore. I think we all like Sky Moore. But in terms of pedigree, Arashi Rice has a better draft pedigree than Sky Moore did last year. And we saw the bump. What was he going, like 1.9, 1.10 last year? I can see Arashi Rice with the KC bump is going to be going right around that 1-2 turn. People want to get a piece of that offense. And right now, there's just it's still wide open. We know Travis Kelce is there, but it's a pretty wide open offense right now. So give him that opportunity, man. Like, we like Kadarius Toney as more of a gadget type player. We saw Sky Moore, and then it's going to be between MVS, who's I think sucks, and Arashi Rice getting on the field. Like, there's not a big depth chart there that people are going to be fighting over. So we talked about like a guy like Kendre Miller going up at the back end of the first. I can definitely see of these round two wide receivers, guys who went ahead of him, Jonathan Mingo, Jaden Reed, then Arashi Rice. I see Arashi Rice going ahead of both of those players in rookie drafts, which by my math,
that's a bold take. That's
right around the 1-2 pick. How's that bold?
I think that's just bold. I think it's bold. I mean, I can understand the KC bump, but if you're going Rashee Rice at the end of the first round or 2-1, 2-2, again, you got to – if that's the case, then I got a 2-1 for you, Shane. Come and get him if that's who you want, because I'm happy to move back if somebody wants to come up for Rashee Rice at 2-1, because I like Jaden Reed. You know, Jonathan Mingo. I like these guys. I like Sam Laporta in the position. Then you'd have to say you're picking him over Hooker or Levis. Again, I would take those guys too. So Rashee Rice to me just ain't the guy that's sitting there at all.
To your point though, Matt, so I think it was very, very sharp about what you said there. Yes, I'm going to give you a compliment for a second.
Is
the fact that for any of us who use our draft tools over at DFSArmy.com, you'll know we don't just do straight up rankings. We'll rank and tier these wide receivers in all of these positions, right? So when you're looking at a tier of players, Jonathan Mingo, Jaden Reed, Rashee Rice, and dare I say Matthew Beck, Marvin Mims Jr. as well, who was the last pick of round two, are all in a very similar tier, which are all going to be going right around. I mean, listen, this round two, let's call it pick 111 to mid round two, it's going to be your flavor of these round two wide receivers, those high-end RB2s, frankly, is what they are, that went around three. We talked about like the Devon Achane's, the Kendre Millers of the world. And then there's going to be the Dalton Kincaids, the Luke Musgraves, the Michael Mayers. These players are all going to be going in that range. We're going to have to dissect them. And when it comes down to it, it's going to be about, one, just pre-draft evaluations, right? Who do we like in terms of these guys? Because opportunity is going to be similar for all these players. Positional value. I know you're talking about high on these tight ends, but the reality is you don't have one of those elite tight ends. They typically don't even move the needle, even in your tight end premium leagues. If it's a two tight end league, which means you start two tight ends, different conversations. If it's 1.75 or 2 points per reception, moves the needle, different conversation. But for your 1.5, it's very hard to dissect these players, right? And really differentiate them. And that's why I'm going to lean towards a player like Rashee Rice, who – look, I keep going back to the Senior Bowl because these are when players are playing with other players that are higher pedigree, right? Slow start to the Senior Bowl week, but by the end of the week, Rashee Rice was showing why he was one of these top prospects. Again, you bake in the draft capital, you bake in the size. I just think he's going to be in that conversation, Matt. And it's all about what are your options. And Jonathan Mingo isn't it for me. I like Jaden Reed, but I'm probably taking Rashee Rice ahead of Jaden Reed. Marvin Mims. This is a guy that's kind of interesting to me, though, but he goes to the Denver Broncos. And as of today, they still have Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. So he's going to be definitively the number three in that offense. Matt, you were saying it during the draft when he was drafted. It's going to be Russ's new Tyler Lockett. So my question to you, Matthew, because you have experience with Seattle, do you really think Marvin Mims has the chops to be a Tyler Lockett type player?
Yeah, 100%. I thought Marvin Mims when I was doing my pre stuff, I liked him more than I liked Zay Flowers. Not that I, you know, it's not like if there was a gun to my head, I would take Mims over Flowers. Definitely not. But I really liked their games and very similar outputs. They have size over a guy like Tank Dell. And I think that's exactly why Tank Dell falls in right behind a Marvin Mims, because he is smaller, Tank Dell. But then you look at Josh Downs and he falls behind there. And that was more surprising to me because I thought Josh Downs was probably the most surefire second round pick. So like Mike had very smartly, if that's a word, talked about how Buffalo went away from the small number three, because that was the spot for a Josh Downs. That was the spot for somebody like that, where if Buffalo had really liked that idea and continued to go for that idea of a small, shifty wide receiver three. But you're right, Mike, they got rid of Isaiah McKenzie. They have Shakir, which I can understand. Maybe that's why they got rid of these guys. It's like, hey, Shakir's just a little bit bigger guy that we wanted, but they're going heavy. They're going tall. They're finding ways to defeat these AFC teams. And they're thinking maybe it's going a lot bigger. I like Marvin Mims. I don't think Judy's going to work out with Russell Wilson. Okay. Mm. All of the BS aside, like, yeah, Jeudy can try his best, but remember Jeudy, thinks a lot higher of himself than probably his organization does. I don't see him there for a lot longer, you know, too much longer. So Mims is probably going to be there to play the Judy role when Judy leaves or just can't play that, or he slides into wide receiver two. Mike, would you go Jalen Hyatt over Rashee Rice at all? Now Clip has been commenting a lot, and I love Clip. We can't put on every one of these comments, but I see him. It's like Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Rashee Rice, right? That's the three with Travis Kelce this year. Rashee Rice, you can argue just off of scheme, is the fourth option in that offense. We didn't love Juju in the offense. We weren't clamoring to go we probably reached for Juju in our drafts, but he kind of laughed in our face. You know, if you talk about Rashee Rice being a decoy there, you know Jalen Hyatt is stepping into the opportunity at wide receiver one, right? It doesn't matter. I mean, if anybody likes Daniel Jones, it's Mike Dickinson, okay? So Rashee Rice or Jalen Hyatt, Mike, what do you got there?
I mean, I think just from an opportunity standpoint, you got to like what Hyatt could go into. I like Daniel Jones, but I don't like Daniel Jones because of his passing pedigree and because of his passing volume. I like Daniel Jones because he's with Brian Daboll, and Daboll's going to put him in positions to win. And Jones wins with his feet. Jones has a high floor because of his rushing. And that's why I like Daniel Jones. I'm trying to remember who else the Giants have.
It's Wandale.
They got Wandale Robinson. They signed Paris Campbell this year. They've got Jalen Hyatt now, which round three, pick 310. That's not exactly we're going to run to the podium and draft Jalen Hyatt. They got Isaiah Hodgins, who came on late last year and showed real true chemistry with Daniel Jones. They still have Sterling Shepard for when he's healthy. He's actually decent.
And Richie
James.
And
guess what?
They just traded for Darren Waller,
still
didn't
there. Slate still there. It's just it's very congested. But to your point, that's also an opportunity when it's ambiguous where Jalen Hyatt could come up. I'm not sold on Hyatt, but I think
the thing about Hyatt and Daboll. If you love Daboll, which everybody does, I mean, I do, we all do. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that he's grabbing his guys for a reason. He went out and got Wandale Robinson for a reason, second round pick. Jalen Hyatt just fell to them. It was a first round. That's right. It was first round.
Wandale's first. Yeah.
Yep.
Wandale?
That's right. So I thought he was a first round. Yeah. That's
they
right.
They took Wandale in the first. Yeah. They
24th
did.
Or something like that.
Yep.
I think so. The idea is that none of those guys have that direct line speed down the field. Not one of those guys that you named to me. I mean, I know Wandale is fast, but he's small. He's not the guy that you can put on the outside that just runs all the way down the field. He did have that in Buffalo, right? So that's the thing is, what if he can't run his offense?
Wandale was 211.
That's okay. That's what I thought.
Wandale was picked 211.
So without having the guy that can run downfield to where you actually have to keep it honest down there, Daniel Bellinger can't slip in behind. You know, Wandale Robinson can't slip in behind. Saquon can't slip in, you know, on swings to the outside. So I just don't think the offense can run without a Hyatt. And I think that just like you had Stephon Diggs. You know, without Stephon Diggs being a real threat on the outside, does the offense even work? You know, and that's kind of where I'm looking at with New York. It's like, if you can't stretch the field, does the offense really work? So they got their field stretcher in Hyatt, and I think no one else is going to be there. There's a lot of good names that you just mentioned, Shane, a lot of guys that popped last year for the Giants. Take away two or three of those names because they're not going to be there next year. Give all that production to Hyatt this year, Wandale. You could kind of theorize. Yes, Patrick Mahomes is an air raid offense, but again, Rashee Rice, more like Juju to me, not a high-end asset. I'm not going after him. I'm not 2.1 in him, you know, anything like that. Darren Waller. Again, you have Darren Waller. How can the tight ends do anything if you're not stretching the field at all? So, I mean, it's just – and then if you don't and you let high, okay, they're not going to throw it to him. Watch. They will. Okay.
Wandale and Hyatt are both 4.4 guys, though. So, like, to say that Wandale's not a field stretcher is just not – it's not true.
You know who's faster?
Small. He's just
You know who's faster? Paris Campbell was 4.31.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he's had some injuries, so maybe
pre-injury
he
was
4-3-1.
Yeah. And again, small guy. He's more of a backup for Wandell, I think. And that's why I love Paris. Is last year, and here's the thing about the Colts. They had 40% target share to Paris Campbell last year. Okay. So when you think about Josh Downs, why isn't Josh Downs getting a lot more love? Why can't Josh Downs get the 40% when you talk about Pittman? These guys already were in the offense last year. It's not like we're adding pieces, right? So we're adding Downs. We're taking away Paris Campbell, 40%. I want Josh Downs. I want these guys. Cedric Tillman to the Browns. Cedric Tillman, big like DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, do you not like that? To Deshaun Watson from early in his career, Deshaun to DeAndre. Now you have Deshaun to Cedric Tillman, Mike. I mean, Rashi Rice over these guys?
I think give me Tillman over Rice.
There we go. Now we're starting. See, I got to pull it out of you, Mike. I got to pull it out of you. I mean, yes, Tillman over Rice. So Shane, Tillman over Rice.
So wait, let me go back. I think the Hyatt thing is more about Daniel Jones than it is about Hyatt. I think it makes me feel better about Daniel Jones and about that offense writ large than it does about any of those individual pieces. And honestly, this is a Bob Harris-ism. Whichever piece is going to be the cheapest is probably the piece that I will grab. So whichever of those guys falls the farthest, be it in a rookie draft or be it in redraft next year, that's probably the piece that I'll have. Because like, if you look at the price that you were paying for Steph Diggs versus Gabe Davis or a Cole Beasley or something like that, like Cole Beasley put up 1,100 yards in that offense when he was in his peak, and he was basically free. He was like 11th, 12th, 13th round in redraft. So if you kind of connect those dots, I'm out on Waller. I think that Waller had his one good year, and I don't think he's been healthy since. I think that he'll be fine in that offense. But I think whichever of those receivers is going to be the cheapest is the one that I'll grab. I also think that I'll be high on Jones again this year. To pivot to the I almost texted you guys this earlier. I'm big on Cleveland this year. I'm as big on Cleveland this year as I was on San Diego last year. I think that you look at the pieces that are around Watson. They got Amari Cooper. They got Cedric Tillman. They added Elijah Moore. They got David Bell. I think that Nick Chubb is going to have a ridiculous year because now you can't stack the box. You got to respect the outside. So either Watson beats you or Chubb beats you. And I think Chubb is going to have a phenomenal year this year.
Yep. And Cleveland Browns just selected Daywon Jones. But breaking news. Roshan Johnson just got drafted to the Bears, which is probably a great landing spot. I mean, I know we love Herbert, Khalil Herbert, if you love Roshan Johnson, then the Bears have to be a great landing spot. If you think he's going to take the lion's share over there, again, we're talking about draft capital. It matters with receivers. Okay, these wide receivers right here that we're talking about, those are the guys that are going to probably have production and perform. But the running backs that are just now going to be selected, your Roshan Johnson, that's the guys that you should probably start sliding into your 2.4s, your 2.5s, your 2.3s, something like that, along with your Sam Laportas. And it's going to push these guys like Cedric Tillman, Josh Downs, down the board. And Mike's right, hitting right on it. I want them. I want every one of them. I said this last week to Shane. We should be going after our third round rookie picks this year, because even if you don't like the running backs or tight ends or quarterbacks, they're going to go in the second round, and they're going to push down these wide receivers that we are going to like. Josh Downs, Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt, Tank Dell. Again, we didn't talk about him very much, but CJ Stroud loves Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's going to love Tank Dell. Tank Dell wins all over the field. So do you not want that?
Tiny.
He is tiny, but so is half the receivers that got drafted this year. I mean, they're all tiny. So again, if you talk about
tiny as Tank Dell, man.
Dude, he's 5'8", 175.
But
165.
Sorry, 165. Sorry.
He won all over the field. But yes, Wandale Robinson last year, Tank Dell this year, your first year, you're probably going to have some headaches with him, might have some injuries, might fall down. Wait to draft Tank Dell. Don't draft him in the second round. Go trade for him, third round pick. But Michael Wilson went to the Cardinals, and he screams Anquan Boldin to me. And the Cardinals was the team that made Anquan Boldin, okay? So I like that. DeAndre Hopkins is a great person to learn from. Michael Wilson is a great receiver, can do everything. He's kind of a gadget player, and he does have some size. We're not even talking about him. We're not talking about the fact that Trey Tucker went to the Raiders, which is more of a scheme guy. Josh McDaniels, I mean, you could say it's a horrible pick. And yes, going before Tyler Scott was a little bit crazy.
Who's his teammate in college was Tyler Scott.
Yeah. So, but Tyler Scott was kind of the guy that everybody had just really theorized was going to go ahead.
He was a better prospect.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So again, it's a scheme play. That's why Josh McDaniels sucks.
Sorry. Can I just hate on this pick a little bit? In college, he played 97% of his snaps in the slot. Okay. They now have three slot wide receivers on the Raiders. It's just, it's like, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like Josh McDaniels sucks as a head coach. He sucked before. And there's no reason why he's not going to suck now. He's not good. I mean, Josh McDaniels is going to be out of there, and they're going to tear that team apart. And again, DeAndre, Davante Adams, like, only wanted to go there to play with Carr. You gave away so much for the guy. Now he hates where he's at. Okay. Not to mention Josh Jacobs, the report came out that once they dealt Waller, Josh Jacobs was like, I hate this team. So again, they're imploding. I don't like Trey Tucker. I'm not going to draft him, but a couple of these round four or five receivers that I am going to be kind of taking a look at where they go, Parker Washington, Xavier Hutchinson, Trey Palmer, Tyler Scott. Those are the guys that I'm looking to see where they fall. Yes, I did not mention Kayshon Boutte. Kayshon Boutte was in trouble a long time ago. We saw the writing on the wall. He's in some sex cults, which, I mean, I could be a fan of the sex cults. I can't be. The guy is just imploding on himself. He's probably not the best guy. I mean, the only way Kayshon Boutte even probably comes back alive is if he gets drafted to a team that can probably has, you know, good history with changing character around. It'd be interesting to see where he goes. I think he still falls. Shane, we can move on to the tight ends because I think we have a lot.
Yeah, let's quickly tie. Well, we've already touched on the tight ends, so we'll just quickly close it out with talking about the tight ends, and then we'll get off here. And we're going to do a show next week, and we're going to have our consensus rankings next week for the people and how we're actually going to be drafting. So something we're going to work on. But let's talk quickly about the tight ends. We've talked about Dalton Kincaid in detail, but let's talk about Sam Laporta. He was drafted at pick 2.3 by the Detroit Lions, and to me, this seems like a pretty solid landing spot because they did trade away T.J. Hockenson last year. Wide open, Sam Laporta is a bit of a stud. Mike, do you know anything about Sam?
I know that he went to Iowa, and I know that Dan Campbell is a tight end, and Dan Campbell drafted a tight end at 2.03. So that combined with the vacated targets from Hockenson and just the attention that they gave to tight end even after Hockenson was gone, I think it's a prime landing spot for him. Like I said, he's 6'3", 245. They didn't bring him in. He can block, but that's not what they brought him in to be. They brought him in to be a pass catcher.
Yep, correct. And the button on Sam Laporta is there's been a lot of fantasy football data analysts, which I hate because, again, analyzing data has nothing to do with real football. I mean, if a freaking team loves Jahmyr Gibbs and they give him everything, then sure. But I can understand idea.
Mike, you know what we need? We need one of those like disclaimers, like the views and opinions by Flex Matt are not the opinions of the DFS Army team. It's like, in no way.
Okay, so the reason why I was saying that.
I don't think we need that disclaimer. I think everybody knows that full well.
Yes, exactly. So Sam Laporta is 6'3". The data miners on tight end production, 6'4 or above, you can get there. 6'3 and under, you aren't getting there. But the Lions went for two undersized guys at their position. You can say Sam Laporta close to tight end one in the class. I mean, they made him tight end two, but they probably could have again said, hey, if Dalton Kincaid did not get drafted before Laporta, they probably would have still taken Laporta, which would have gave a lot more insight to their love of Laporta and would have skyrocketed him up boards. So I like Laporta, just have to understand that at 6'3", the production value is just like Jahmyr Gibbs, where there isn't a lot of great tight ends at 6'3", more move guys, more just route guys, not productive guys because they don't block. So they start to get schemed away. But you look at that offense again, they added two stellar pieces to a top rated offense in the league. Okay. Three, if you count Hooker. They just added pieces. It's exactly the same thing with Charbonnet and JSN. They didn't need Charbonnet. They didn't need JSN in Seattle. Now you have two offensive weapons that are you're adding to it. Probably better for real football, but the fact is they don't have another tight end on the roster that is going to get that opportunity and tight end being low. So I like Sam Laporta, Mike. I would tell you that I would go Sam Laporta 2-1, 2-2, 2-3 ahead of any of these. You know, I probably would take, well, not ahead of A-Chain, but probably right behind A-Chain. Probably ahead of Spears, behind A-Chain in the second round.
Here's a question for you on tight ends. So Dallas took Schoonmaker. Do you like him over Ferguson this year?
I like him in the third round no matter what. I don't care because he's going to fall out of the second round just because nobody likes him. But he went to the right team. And I say the right team in the fact that his player comp was Witten, right? Or just a guy. Yeah. He's Dalton Schultz 2.0. I mean, and the Cowboys, they draft for fit. If they draft for need or they draft for want, it's usually in the first round, right? They go out and they get their running back in the top 10. They go out and they get CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, they might have needed CeeDee Lamb, but, you know, CeeDee was a lavish pick. You know, they're full of lavish picks. But when you come to the other positions in the field, Dallas usually likes to draft for people they want. Dalton Schultz was a great piece of their offense. They probably looked at Schoonmaker, loved Schoonmaker, knew they can get him wherever they wanted in the second round. So he fits in as a guy that I think in a couple years will be just like Dalton Schultz. He would probably have a little bit of murky waters to get there, but he's pro offense. I mean, Michigan, that's why everyone loves me. I mean, you look at Michigan, their draft guys defensively and offensively are great. I mean, they have a great team. They're ran by an NFL coach, so they're NFL ready. You can't really knock it. Schoonmaker in the third round. Let's go.
I got a question for Clip in the chat. Does South Dakota State count as a small school? I don't think it's a Power 5, last I checked, right? So Tucker Kraft, he was a guy we were talking about last week. He was the 10-2 going to the Green Bay Packers. Is he kind of like a dart at this point, Matt? Round three and later?
It's kind of tough, right? To say. I would like to hear Mike's take on the double tight end draft by Green Bay. I'm a little bit concerned that they did that as a just in case Musgrave isn't good play. What do you think, Mike?
I think it felt like a hedge. It felt like in free agency when New England brought in Hunter Henry and then brought in Jonnu Smith right behind it. Like, it kind of felt like a hedge. We want a productive tight end. It's going to be one of these guys. It might be both of these guys. So I think that I'm probably going to stay away from a Green Bay tight end this year.
Yeah, but I like him in the third round. I mean, at this point, third round picks probably could be had for not a lot. And if you don't have good tight ends on your roster, like one of my dynasty teams is headed by Hunter Henry, I would probably say if you could get a 3 and a 4 for Hunter Henry, which probably isn't asking a lot, you know, I would probably take 3 and 4 and go out and get 2 for 1 and just shoot for upside. And I would say that Tucker Kraft would be the guy I would probably shoot because he's a cheaper option. But man, if Musgrave can hit, and Musgrave's going to be the guy that they actually flex out wide. Like, Tucker Kraft is athletic for sure, but he doesn't have the athletic profile that Musgrave has. I mean, Musgrave could have easily been the first tight end off the board. I bet you Buffalo was probably debating Musgrave and Kincaid. And if that was the case, they might have should have waited, but you know, they went in on Kincaid and that's great to see. I would tell you that they want Musgrave to be the big guy as the 3. That's for sure. But you know, with scheme, who's a rookie QB's best friend, Shane? Rookie QB's best friend.
Could be, well, it could be a slot receiver or a big tight end to
it's a tight end to get it. Jordan Love isn't a rookie, but you need to have some big guys that are going to be in your intermediate area that are saying, hey, dude, I'm wide open. Just hit me here. Just give it to me. You got two running backs as well that can kind of field that opportunity. I mean, I like Jordan Love right now. I really do. I think, what can you get for Jordan Love? Give me a lot for him because I like him. I like him.
Dude, end of the season, Jordan Love is going to feed Christian Watts until he vomits.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't, there's going to be options. Jaden Reed's going to be good. Luke Musgrave hopefully is good. If not, Tucker Kraft right behind it. I mean, Dobbs is – he also is a weird receiver where he's very plug and play, so he can be an option there. Dylan's, you can run a two, you can now run some really crazy sets where you have two receivers, two tight ends, two running backs, or some shit like that. I mean, it's going to be kind of fun.
You can't run that set.
Can you not? Is that too many?
You have 12 guys on the field. You need five offensive linemen. You can't run that set.
Oh, you put the Tucker Kraft on the line as your tackle, and then he just runs out. Who knows? You know,
the one thing worries me about, and the more I'm thinking about it, like even with Sam Laporta, I know we talked about how he's going to be more of a passing tight end, but the fact that they have Jahmyr Gibbs and the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs likes to take the ball outside when he runs, we saw that in college. They're looking for these outside lanes, and that worries me a little bit about production with the Detroit Lions for Sam Laporta. Luke Musgrave, probably the better choice over Tucker Kraft, but I like the opportunity for Darnell Washington as well, although he's going to be competing with Pat Freiermuth. The more I think about it, guys, I'm so worried about taking any of these tight ends early in round two. It might be a hot take, but even in my tight end premiums, 1.5, I'm probably taking a lot of these tight ends mid to late round two, and I'm going to be taking shots on some of these wide receivers and running backs earlier. There's just so much depth. That's what I'm going with these.
Let's do a mock draft next week. I'm telling you, with our rankings, let's do a 1-2-3. Maybe we can get Brandon on here 1-2-3-4, and we just cycle through the first round. Because I'd really, really, really like to see what some of these drafts start shaking out to be. Because I mean, I hear what you're saying, but Jimmy Garoppolo loves Michael Mayer. I mean, the idea of Michael Mayer, right?
Michael Mayer, like, yeah.
Josh McDaniels loves the idea of Gronk 2.0. Okay. Thought he got rid of Waller probably because he knew he was staring down a Michael Mayer in this draft at some point. Replacement value, lot of opportunity. I just like that better than a Tajay Spears at 111, 112.
We're taking shots. A lot of these guys probably aren't going to be really fantasy relevant in year one anyways. And if they are, it's probably going to be due to an injury or later in the season once they've developed a little bit. But boys, we are on an hour and 26 minutes. We've had so much to say. Next week, we're going to be back. We're going to have some definitive rankings. We're going to have all the draft books in the bank, baby, as they say. We're going to talk about some of these later round picks that we like that are being drafted today as we speak, as we're live on the show for the people. So, of course, you can catch all of our content over at dfsarmy.com. Again, we are just a little fantasy football niche segment of the DFS Army team. So please like and subscribe. Please follow us. Hit the notification button so that when we do go live and we do our broadcasts here on the YouTube channel, you're going to get notified when we go live. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go check out dfsarmy.com, dfsarmy.com. We're out. Peace. Knowing that.